Now, let me ask you a question. How is your hearing these days? And if I say, how is your hearing these days, and you say, eh, what's that? That's an old joke. I've heard that a lot this week. But seriously, how is your hearing? Do you have to turn up the radio to listen to the show? Well, let me tell you, you're not on your own. One in six Australians is affected by hearing loss. And both you and I both know, let's be honest, that hearing loss creeps on us as we get a bit older. Now, I raise all of this because this is National Hearing Week, which means it's a good time for you and I to find out more about what's happening to our hearing and what we can do about it. Dr. Payal Mukherjee is a specialist at the Hearing and Balance Centre at the SAN, officially the Sydney Adventist Hospital at Warunga. Dr. Mukherjee, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Good evening. Thanks for having me.
Now, is it inevitable that we will lose some of our hearing as we get older?
Well, it's not 100%, but it is the incidence is, you know, 70% of people over 70 or 80% of people over 80 will have some degree of hearing loss. As
right.
Well. So it is common, but it's not inevitable.
Well, so when my wife says you're not paying attention, I can say, no, my hearing is just not as good as it used to be. What causes
it? A very common excuse.
Oh, yes. What can be done when that starts to happen? I mean, we just automatically think as lay people, well, just go and get a hearing aid. That's the thing to do. Is that the right thing? Is that the right response when we discover we're losing hearing?
Yeah. As you know, there's the inner ear that does a different type of hearing, and then there's the middle ear and the outer ear. Now, if someone has problems in the middle ear or the outer ear, it's more surgically accessible. So if there's ways of there are surgical options available, but in the inner ear, and that's usually the most common type of hearing loss in the older population, there's only two main options really. One is a hearing aid until the hearing aid doesn't give enough benefit, and then there's a cochlear implant.
Right.
So the benefit even of being attuned and being proactive about hearing stimulation when you are losing it, particularly with the hearing aid, is that if you do get to the point of, you know, if you are a cochlear implant person, patient down the track, the outcome of a cochlear implant is so much better if you have been stimulating it with a hearing aid. It's
right.
A use it or lose it philosophy.
Yep, okay. Is it a mistake just to rush off to a hearing aid centre? Is it a good idea to go to an ear, nose and throat specialist first and say, check me out, tell me what problems I've got? Is that a good first step?
I think so. Or equally, your GP, and if your GP's not sure, they'll always refer you on to an ear, nose and throat doctor. And that's just because, you know, there are, as I said, nuances of hearing. There are different types of hearing loss. So, and a hearing aid will not, you know, if one solution doesn't fit everybody.
Right.
So
right.
It's always good to know that there's no, the medical terminology is contraindication. So there's nothing precluding the use of a hearing aid, and a hearing aid is the most appropriate solution for a problem. Because I have seen patients, and it makes me very sad when they come to it at this stage, that who are actually cochlear implant patients and they're still paying off their loan for their $20,000 hearing aid.
Oh, yeah,
They're not getting any use off, but even though their cochlear implant is fully funded through their health fund and it doesn't cost them anything to have that done, this person still didn't want to go through with the hearing solution that would best suit them because they just felt that I've made such a financial investment in this technology, I'm going to keep using it until at least I've paid off my loan for it.
That's very sad.
That does happen as well.
Okay, let me present you with what I think of as the old bloke's problem, which is earwax. Us old blokes, we get earwax quite often. And I find myself syringing wax out of my ear every so often, and I get a sudden improvement in my hearing when I do that. Okay, why does that happen? What's going on?
Yeah, so I suppose there are a couple of factors. Firstly, I mean, wax is produced in the outer part of the ear canal.
Yes.
When you say old blokes, some old blokes sometimes have very hairy ear canals, but then the wax gets trapped more easily.
Yep.
Some people, and this is not age-specific, this is not gender-specific, you know, it happens in all ages as well. Some people use cotton buds, and that sometimes pushes the wax further in, impacts it. It's like, you know, something on a bit of, if you're putting something into a syringe and really, you know, impacting it, it's going to become even thicker and stiffer. and more likely to block off the hearing passage. And then that can lead to infections as well. So there are a few factors that go into it. But some people just produce more wax and obviously like yourself, that needs treatment but it is also easily remedied by having the wax removed.
Right. Now, one of the problems is that we lose our hearing very gradually and we tend to be not all that consciously aware of it. Is it sensible when you get to a certain age to go and have a hearing test and find out what's actually going on?
Absolutely. That's absolutely spot on. And, it doesn't hurt you just to know, what your hearing is doing. And especially if you're finding that in the noisy environment you're mishearing people.
Right.
That's the first telltale sign that you might be having a bit of hearing loss. If people are sort of having to repeat what they say when you're outside playing with the grandkids or when you're at a restaurant and you're mishearing your friends and stuff like that.
That's usually
the first sign of having hearing loss. I mean, definitely then or even earlier. There's no harm. It's not an invasive test that doesn't hurt you to have it done, and more information is better. Especially once you're getting beyond the 60 to the 70, where you know that there's the incidence of hearing loss increases.
Quick final question. Where do we organise a hearing test? Does our GP organise that for us?
The GP. So there's audiologists everywhere. So and it's usually, it is very accessible to being able to get access to an audiologist. It would be better if there is an abnormality before the person sort of jumps in to get a hearing aid, that there is a medical discussion. At least so, you know that there's no other option, so you find out all your options before investing in something that's expensive. But the other thing that's really important for patients to know is that whenever they buy a hearing aid, they're entitled to having a free trial. So they have to I want to take this equipment home and try it for a week or two weeks to see if this works for me. If it doesn't work for me, I don't want to buy it. And if they're going to an audiologist, they will not for that. Find another one, go to your GP, go to the ENT surgeon. They will organise it for you. We are the patient advocates. So we will find someone who does that for them.
That sounds really good. Dr. Mukherjee, thank you for your time.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Dr. Payal Mukherjee, a specialist at the Hearing and Balance Centre at the SAN, which is officially the Sydney Adventist Hospital at Warunga. So there you are. It's worth checking out. Just don't let it steadily decline. Do something about it.